Hi, I'm McCartney Hagar, and welcome back to Alabama Care. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and I think mainstream news sources are doing a pretty good job of covering Ukraine and sort of political issues right now. So I'm going to take a step back from what I've been doing and talk about disability culture. It's the 21st was Down Syndrome Awareness Day, and the Down Syndrome community is so important to the disability community. People with Down syndrome have made huge contributions to like everything we've done, our civil rights, our and especially our entertainment and culture. We have so many amazing artists with Down syndrome that are really paving the way for people with all kinds of different diagnoses. So I thought this was the perfect time to talk about like music and film. So I'd really like to start talking about some m movies. One thing I'd really like to highlight is things made, you know, if you've heard of the hashtag Own Voices, it's when people from a disadvantaged or marginalized community make content themselves about themselves. So this would be, you know, a Black creator talking about that experience and making a movie about it. So you get sort of straight from who your audience is. So, for disability, this is kind of limited. There are lots of creators out there, but a lot of times we have trouble getting published, getting acting jobs, because there are very few roles and very few people that are willing to look at disability. And this is the case for lots of other marginalized communities as well. So, before I go into disability-owned companies, I wanted to talk about some representation that's really great and on Netflix. So this movie is called Crip Camp, and it's like my favorite movie. And again, CRIP is generally considered a slur among disabled people, so we're allowed to say it. You should not, so do not. Saying the title of the movie is okay, but just for reference, so if that word is a problem, I'm gonna try and say it as little as possible. So this film is about how in the 60s people with disabilities met at an accessible summer camp. I can relate to that. And later went on to move across the country to live at Berkeley and begin the first independent living center and the movement that led to the 504 protest and the ADA and the 504 laws that protect our rights today, which we've talked a little bit about on previous broadcasts. So this film and their subsequent impact campaign, they had a whole program where they taught people about activism, about the disability community, and that's where I've actually learned about a lot of the actors and companies I'm going to highlight today. So the people behind this film, Jim Labrecht, Andrea Levant, Nicole Newham, they've done really great things for the community. Not just politically, but also culturally. And I highly recommend it. The film is rated R. And again, it's important to remember that disabled people, may have limitations in some aspects, but we are still adults. And so adult themes will pertain to us sometimes. I mean, we face discrimination, we can face violence. And, it is important to remember that even people with all kinds of diagnoses do have relationships and deal with their sexuality just like anybody else. So a lot of these films and companies I'm going to present today do actually talk about these things just as any normal mainstream media company would. So it's important to remember, if you are the parent of a disabled child or if you're younger listening to this, it is important, even though this media is great and I recommend it, to make sure you're choosing things that are appropriate for your age and where you are emotionally. Some of these deal with discrimination and ableism, and it can be upsetting at times, but sometimes it's also very validating to see kind of your experience reflected. Like, oh yeah, I've been there, So I think this is just important to keep in mind as we move forward. Again, sometimes liberating, but it's important to be responsible with how you consume media. Nonetheless, I'm still going to recommend it because it could be helpful for a lot of our audience. And I think it could give parents, even if you're do not have a disability or non-disabled, you can still enjoy this. And I think it would give you a better perspective of some of the challenges your child might face growing up. So next we're going to move into these companies that specialize in disabled actors and media about disability. So Sins and Valid, I found out about them through the Crip Camp Film Impact Campaign. So essentially, their mission focuses on highlighting multiply marginalized people with disabilities. So again, because some people have more than one identity, let's say a Latina woman wants to be an actress and she has autism and uses a wheelchair. It will be very difficult for her to find roles because most of the time when you see people with disabilities on television or in plays, they're white and neurotypical. So we get this kind of intersection where it can be much harder for other people with disabilities to find opportunities. So Sins and Valid focuses on uplifting people that may not have these opportunities otherwise and making sure their work gets published and other people can see it. And what I really love about Sins and Valid and also some of these other companies is that they also specialize in activism. So they promote leadership opportunities for people with disabilities, supportive, engaged space for people like artists. So it also helps people break out into if they want to do activism or work for a nonprofit. There's a lot of different experiences people can get through this organization that can help them with a lot of different career paths. So I think this is really important, and it teach and promotes civic engagement, which is like voting, for example, or keeping up with politics. And when, laws are very important for us because they determine, for example, how much money we get to live off of each month, which I believe I've mentioned before, and I'm sure other people have, is not very much. So when we're civically engaged, it's, we have a better chance of getting our needs met by the people that we elect. And when you do it through art, when you encourage getting involved in communities through things that you love to do, expressing yourself, it's much easier. It's fun. And people actually, don't dread going to, going to work or to things like that when it's something that really connects with them. So I love this organization. And they do have a couple recordings on their website. I would love to go see some of their shows in person. I don't know what they're doing right now with the pandemic, though. I know they're very concerned about that. But yes, I highly recommend looking into this organization and some of the people involved. I know some of the biggest people in disability are a part of Sins and Valid, including, I think Leah Lakshmi was the woman in the photo below that we just looked at. She was wearing like a camisole. She has curly hair and glasses and lipstick. Could you scroll down, please? Okay, yeah, that's Leah Lakshmi. So she has written many books about disability. And she's very active in the community and working on, rights and other kinds of issues with us. So, you see, this is where I think a lot of people go to blow off steam after you've been dealing with this kind of thing. So, yes, this is made by and for people with disabilities, which really changes the kind of art that's being produced. Next, I'd like to talk a little bit about Shoot Your Mouth Off films. Now, again, this list of, people, it's not comprehensive. It's just things I've come across and just I don't know how to explain it. Just YouTube rabbit holes, I guess. But SIMO, as they're called, they were founded by Karen Sheeter, who along with being part of the disability rights movement and disability arts movement in the UK, was she was a singer for a band that sang about disability, and, you know, just everyday woes, you know, wheelchair broke down, yada yada. My aide made me get out of bed this morning, you know, just relatable things. And so I was really a fan of her. Someone named Dennis Queen recommended me to her. So I love Miss Sheeter. And I was studying one day and I looked up her name because I wanted to listen to her music while I studied. And again, her music does have some mature themes, so keep that in mind. So I was listening to her and I realized that a bunch of YouTube videos came up and it directed me to Simo. And Simo is a company, a production company, where they for people with developmental or intellectual disabilities, they get people together to make films. And some of their biggest stars, I know three of their reoccurring stars have Down syndrome and have actually become quite popular, not only within the area, they're from Hartlepool, but also online. Some of you, I know Vine is dead, but some of you might have seen this Vine where a woman shouts, "What is going on here?" And then a young guy with Down syndrome says, "Breakfast," and he's holding a pan. So, yeah, it's from a short film they made, a comedy about healthy eating. So, they have a lot of really diverse things. They made a movie recently poking fun at Elon Musk. They decided to go to space to compete with his YouTube views. So, I love their work. It's fun. And again, they teach people a lot of useful skills. So it's not just like a waste of time for the people involved. Over here, she says, Karen says, it's not all about acting. SIMO's members have the opportunity to learn about makeup and costume, desktop publishing, art, and digital media. Our members don't come here just to kill time. SIMO is about activity with a point. We achieve great things here, and we're proud of that. And I definitely agree. I love their work, and it's very entertaining, especially they have some great kitschy horror, which is one of my favorite things. And they're able to tackle a lot of their stuff is comedy, but at the same time, they're able to tackle some more serious issues, like even what we talked about on the day of mourning, which is people having trouble from caregivers and parents, you know, not caring well for their disabled family members, I guess you'd say. It's not always family, but you know. So I think they're able to talk about some real things in a fun and approachable way. I don't know if anyone can, I don't know if I have any examples off the top of my head, but I know lots of communities will sort of make an issue more approachable by instead of talking about it in a serious way, even if it's a serious issue, by sort of poking fun at the people doing the wrong. You could think of, for example, like if I having trouble thinking of examples, but it's sort of a satirical horror scenario. I know there's a movie, I've never seen it, but I've been meaning to, called Bad Hair, and it's about discrimination against natural hairstyles for Black women, and this the hair comes alive and attacks them or whatever. But it's a metaphor for you know, how it can be really oppressive to have to do all this work when your hair is just naturally a certain way, and that's not like okay for no reason. So a lot of right again. So this is these are written by people who have been through these experiences, and again, maybe want to blow off steam, but also want to educate people in a way that's not too overwhelming or triggering. That way we can actually get some work done. So the last thing I'm gonna, well, one the last company I'm gonna bring up. And again, I know there's others. I haven't looked into them, and I like to research things before I put them on here, just in case I find out something sketchy. So, Family is based out of Colorado, and I actually have a friend who works for them, my pen pal. Hi, Apollo. They were founded in the 80s. They specialize in artists with disabilities. And one thing they do that I like is they will change stories a little bit to be more inclusive. So, for example, I watched one video from them where it was they have a rewrite series which is where. Sorry, I'm trying to find the comments. Okay, here we go. So that's where they talk about, for example, I know they've done the Constitution, and they talked about, so they had these actors play the Founding Fathers, and they actually exposed how a lot of them had disabilities, and yet failed to include those protections in the Bill of Rights and things like that. So it can be fun. It's very, again, it's very comedic, but it's also important to think about, oh, hey, people with disabilities were there too. So they'll change sort of stories to be more inclusive and supportive of us rather than, depressing. Like A Christmas Carol, for example. Tiny Tim has a much better role in their version. Highly recommend. So family's done a lot of great things. I watched, they offer a lot of things online, workshops and even performances for fairly low prices. So I've done a few things with them. And again, it's a disability affirmative theatrical process to upend conventional narratives by transforming individuals, audiences, and the world. So I'm a huge fan of Family. They have a lot on their YouTube channel, which I enjoy. And I haven't seen all of it. I haven't seen everything any of these things have made. So if something potentially upsetting or problematic comes up, I don't know about it. But I love this company and everything they stand for. And again, they also prioritize making sure people whose voices may not have been heard in the past are able to have roles that they deserve. Actors who are racially marginalized or LGBTQ have a place in all of these places that I've highlighted here, because it's important to remember that people with disabilities are very diverse. And I think that gets overestimated a bit, because yes, we're diverse, but that doesn't mean it should keep us apart. I know when I talk about disability having its own culture, it's like people don't believe me. They're like, but you're all so different. And it's not based on one geographical area, or you're not always born into a family who has disability. But I think it's important to remember that, yes, our diagnoses vary a lot. I don't have anything medically in common with plenty of people that I'm best friends with. So it's important to remember that even though physically or mentally we're different, the way the world treats us is largely the same. You can still have problems with accommodations in school and not getting what you need to complete your work. You can still have problems with accommodations at work where you're not able to do your job because you're not getting supported. So I think these are pretty universal experiences. And through this, through comedy and media and art, we can sort of talk about it in a way that feels better, makes you feel good at the end of the day. It's like, I'm not alone. And yeah, you can teach other people who may not understand what you're going through because they can identify with the character. So now that I've got the chat pulled up, I'd like to take a minute and see what everybody's up to. Hi, Alex. Yeah, I did see you won an Ox Coda won the Oscar. That was amazing. I am so happy to see more people, especially like people with disabilities, actually on the stage, winning these huge, making these huge achievements. I know Crip Camp wasn't an Oscar. They went up for something. They were nominated for, I think it was an Emmy. But yeah, that we. Our community has really done a lot lately, and I'm super proud. And now that I've talked more about places in general, I'd like to switch over to a few specific people with Down syndrome that I'm a huge fan of. Again, my lists aren't comprehensive, it's just people I know about, but they're really fun, and I'm so excited to share their work with all of you. So first, I want to pull up the article. Yes, okay. So I have seen a little bit of Line of Duty. Again, warning, spoilers are going to come up. If you're interested in Line of Duty, let me see what's on my list. Anything from Simo, American Horror Story. What was the other one? I will look as I go through the article. But yeah, spoilers for shows with people with disabilities in them. So, warning. Yeah. So we have an actress who has worked alongside Kate Winslet, and this actress has Down syndrome, which is a huge deal because that's not been a thing in the past. We have Zach Gottsagen working with Shia LaBeouf and Dakota Johnson. We have all these amazing people working like in real large roles. There's Mayor of Easttown. This is what I was looking for. Yeah, so it's Cassie. Can you scroll back up, please? Yeah, Cassie Mundenk? Mund, H-E-N-K. So Mundenk. As Moira Ross, the daughter of Detective Mayor's best friend. So she actually played Kate Winslet's daughter, which that's a huge achievement. I mean, these are A-list celebrities, and it's amazing to see them working alongside new A-list celebrities with Down syndrome and other disabilities. So I'd like to scroll down. I do want to point out, I think Kate Winslet meant very well by her statement that she doesn't really like the word disability, because she said Cassie was able to do everything else that the other actors could do, and you know, she was just an essential part of the team. And I think that's a great sentiment, but I wanted to talk about for a second why I like the word disability. Because I don't really feel that my disability is the problem. You know, when we are accommodated, we can do anything else. Someone else can do it. We just have to do it in our own way. So, I'm not disabled because of my body or my mind. It's the lack of help sometimes. But yeah, I love this picture here. Let's scroll down just a little bit to the caption so I make sure I get the names right. But we have model Ellie Goldstein and line of duty actor Tommy Jessup. Ellie is wearing an oversized yellow sweater with a big black bow and a frilly mint green skirt. Her hair is black and she has really pretty skin tone, very clear skin. I'm jealous. And red lipstick. Both the people in the picture have Down syndrome. The man standing next to her is Tommy Jessup. He's wearing a white, not polo, but similar sweater with like red and blue accents and black slacks. And he has short brown hair. And they're both smiling, looking to the side a little bit. They both look very happy. So we have, yeah, The Guardian did this big thing about all the people breaking into acting through people with Down syndrome breaking into acting, because this particular part of our community has had so much success. And it's really, really encouraging. So I've seen the first like 4 episodes of Line of Duty. Hello to my friends across the pond. So Line of Duty has a character named Terry Boyle being mistreated by police through an investigation. And I saw like the very beginning where Terry gets involved. And I was asking my friend, essentially, I think evidence was placed in Terry's house or something. And I asked her, I said, I've never heard of this before. Is this a thing? And my friend said, yes, this happens quite often. Gangs or criminals will like ditch the evidence with a person with a disability, so they take the fall, thinking that they can advocate for themselves. So that's horrifying. And it's part of the plot, I think, around this crime. And it talks about this, how his co-star said he was a professional even through some of these really hard scenes, which are hard to talk about. And so his mother talks about how it's hard to watch these kind of things because you don't want to think about it, but it is important. She said it highlighted things that needed highlighting, and that actors with Down syndrome don't have to accept everything if a part is triggering for any reason. And I think that's really important. You know, marginalized actors have the right to say no. We all have the right to say, I can't handle this, because it is upsetting. And even if someone needs to do it, it doesn't have to be you. And I think that's why when things are written by people with disabilities, they're much more approachable. At least for me, I know I get less upset by things when they're written by someone who's been there and knows sort of the lines, I guess, which can be different for everyone, but I think general lines are pretty applicable. I mentioned American Horror Story offhandedly, but Jamie Brewer, she's in this article somewhere. She's a really great actress. She's been in a lot of things, Broadway, and she's a recurring star on American Horror Story. And this show is definitely for adults. And I have mixed feelings, because some things do deal with ableism quite well. I know in the first season, there's talk about filicide and institutionalization, which are really triggering topics, but they happen. And I think a lot of it was handled well. However, there was a season about asylums and a season about freak shows, which I could not really watch very well. And I think that's the difference. I think that when you have a disability, you know sometimes when it might be a little too close to home. And while I'm glad that non-disabled people can be learning lessons from media like this, I feel that it's not made for me. But I did make it through Asylum and all the other seasons except for Freak Show because of mostly Jamie Brewer. I was really invested in her acting. She's really great. And it was so inspiring to see another person with a disability in this big, mega popular TV show. And even though she has intellectual and physical disabilities, she was able to, you know, they cast her in roles where she's dealing with adult issues and living her own life and being very independent and making her own decisions. So for that, I think that's really great. And I also, Simo does the same thing. I haven't seen enough of Line of Duty to know, but I know Shoot Your Mouth Off films, they always have actors with disabilities, you know, portraying people in relationships, people with jobs, because all of these things are possible for us. And I think it's important to show that in films. So I want to talk for a minute about Madeline Stewart. She's very famous. She's a model with Down syndrome, and she's somewhere in this article. I think she was at the bottom when they were doing like the little vignettes about specific people. There she is. Yay, I love her. She says, the fashion show runway is my happy place where I truly feel alive. She's got long red curly hair. She's got a lot of makeup, and she's wearing a dress that's loose fitting on the top, elbow length sleeves, and a long skirt. It's sort of a white cream color, very vintage looking. So Madeline Stewart was actually one of the first people with disabilities that I knew that was famous, I guess you'd say, in a way. When I was a kid, I was not very confident in how I looked. I have some rib and spine sort of, I don't like the word deformities, but I suppose that's what they're called. And I didn't like how it looked. I was pretty okay with my arms and legs, which are where most of my disability presents. But it was hard for me sometimes to look in the mirror or see myself in certain outfits, because if it made that very obvious, I would feel embarrassed and ashamed and I didn't want to look different. And it's not exactly the beauty standard to have this sort of concave or outstretched ribs. So, but I think Madeline Stewart, when I started following her modeling, it made me feel, I really, you know, she's very beautiful. She's stunning. And she's done so great. What do you call it? Not academically, but professionally. She's done so great professionally. And it really inspired me to feel a little more confident in my body because, you know, Madeline Stewart, she can walk, but she has physical differences than the average person. And she's beautiful. And it made me feel a little better that, you know, different appearances are beautiful. And a lot of it is how you look at yourself. And a lot of it is confidence. So, I don't know if she's had any television roles. I feel like she has, and I may just not remember. But yeah, I follow her closely. I think she might be ill right now. I hope she's doing okay. But it makes a huge difference. It made a huge difference in my life, I know, to have people out there in these kinds of professions that normally aren't open to people with disabilities, to see people succeeding and just being praised because they're beautiful and their disability is a huge part of that. So I owe a lot to Madeline Stewart. That's when I feel like Madeline Stewart and there's this website or blog called The Body Is Not an Apology. That was how I got into what I am now, trying to do activism and things like that. So I think one reason I wanted to do this broadcast, and I've wanted to talk about this since I first started at Alabama Care, but then things kept coming up, you know, travesty after travesty. You know the news. But this topic is really important to me because I know a lot of people, when you maybe can't go out as much, or there's access barriers to like playing sports or something like that, a lot of people tend to get really invested in art and movies and video games and books. So I think the representation is really important because if I had never come across to other people with disabilities succeeding, or for example, I love this podcast called Welcome to Night Vale, and then I found out the main character has a niece with spina bifida. And there's an episode where they talk about she's getting an adapted car, and you know, she's think she's almost college age now, but it made me feel so good because even though it didn't matter to me that we don't have the same diagnosis, it was just, oh my gosh, I was looking for adaptive cars too, and oh my gosh, I use a wheelchair. It really makes a difference, and I can't always say why. I think a lot of times, mentioned Tiny Tim in the Christmas Carol earlier. When you see these sort of negative representations, you know, Tiny Tim doesn't have the best of times. Not, you know, I think we all know how that story goes. One universe, one timeline, his family is kind of poor and he dies. And then he's just kind of, in the other timeline, he's just kind of there being grateful not to be dead. And we don't know what else he does. So it's nice to see Janice, for example, is really involved in wheelchair basketball. So disabled characters with lives of their own that you can connect to, it helps you feel proud of who you are and less insecure. And I know now that I've gotten older and I'm not in middle school anymore, I'm not in high school, I'm not worried so much about how I look, or if everyone's gonna accept me. It's really important to feel confident in how you look. Less so now, but still important. And I think seeing all these other successful people with disabilities who are considered beautiful has really made a difference. And now that I feel like I know who I am and I know that I deserve to have a good, happy life, because believe it or not, sometimes it's hard to believe one deserves that. I think it really does help me to demand respect in situations where it's called for. It helps me ask for accommodations and help when I need it, because I know that I deserve it. I deserve to be happy and to live my dreams like anyone else. So that's why media representation is really important to me. And I'm so glad that all of the actors and producers and owners of these companies and everyone who works with them is able to live their dream too. And that they've paved the way so other people can get into something as exclusive as the arts. So I'm gonna double check the comments, see if anything else has come up, and then I think probably wrap up. Let's see. Thank you so much, Alex, for sharing all the links. Yes, anyone who, if you're interested in maybe taking a class with one of these companies, watching all of their YouTube backlog, like I've been doing. I know family is accessible to people from Alabama. And again, a lot of these aren't based around here, which is unfortunate. But that's not to say they don't exist. A lot of it, I think, is just that my knowledge is limited, and I have a lot of friends in different states. So I don't always have the best grasp of what's going on in Alabama. So if anyone knows anything specific about the local area, or if anyone would love to start something like this, please let me know. I will be your best friend. I can always use more best friends, especially people that love disability culture. Right, so I'd love to do another one of these later on, because disability also has music. There are so many artists with disability singing about disability with all kinds of different styles and backgrounds, and I love it so much. Music can make your whole day. So I'm really excited to be talking about disability culture and what makes our community so important, and what we've put out into the world, what we can give back to other people and to history and the broader culture of where we're from. So thank you all, and I hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for doing the emotional labor, as always, which I think this one was a little less depressing than usual. I tried.